nearly 6 months into the U.S. Israeli genocide in the Gaza Strip, the death toll among the Palestinians has surpassed 30,300. Israel conducts a drone attack on a car on a road used by the UN interim force in Lebanon, killing 3 people. And following the Iranian elections for parliament and the assembly of experts, the tension now focuses on the outcome as vote counting is underway. This is News. Thanks for joining us. More Palestinians have lost their lives as Israel goes ahead with its genocidal campaign in the Gaza Strip, which is now in its 148th day. According to the Gaza Health Ministry, at least 92 Palestinians were killed and 156 others injured over the past 24 hours. At least 17 people were killed in the attacks on Deir al-Balah, the Jabalia refugee camp, today. The ministry says many people are still trapped under the rubble, as rescuers are unable to reach them. A day ago, at least 10 children were reportedly died from malnutrition and dehydration in the same city. The death toll from Israel's relentless onslaught on Gaza since early October has surpassed 30,300, most of them women and children. More than 71,500 Palestinians have also been injured, while thousands more remain unaccounted for. Meanwhile, Israel continues to use starvation as an instrument of war against Palestinians in Gaza, while also intensifying its airstrikes on the besieged territory. Our correspondent joined us earlier from Deir al-Balah with more.
In the meantime, it's worth mentioning that the Israeli occupation forces are still using starvation as a weapon of war against the Palestinian people, taking more lives of the Palestinian children in Gaza Strip. The number of the Palestinian children who have been killed since the over the last couple of days actually amounted to 13 Palestinian children. 13 Palestinian children were killed in a cold blood by the Israeli occupation forces as they were deprived of having the food and clean drinkable water, causing them malnutrition and dehydration. And this number is highly expected to rise exponentially as thousands of the Palestinian children are living the same circumstances of deprivation of the needed humanitarian needs and assistance and the needed medical care. We are talking about catastrophic and beyond catastrophic humanitarian conditions. The need for the people here is very dire. And having this sporadic humanitarian aid allowed into Gaza or dropped in, on Gaza Strip actually means nothing compared to the dire need that the Palestinian people are living and experiencing, particularly when it comes to the children. What Gaza Strip really needs these moments is the flow, the continuous flow of the humanitarian aid into Gaza Strip. And this actually needs a real political willingness from the regional parties. They need to oblige the Israeli occupation to allow the entry of those humanitarian aid into Gaza Strip without having any restriction. The Israeli occupation forces committed a telling massacre over the last night here in Deir al-Balah city, after destroying and targeting at least 3 residential buildings in the center of Deir al-Balah and in the eastern part of Deir al-Balah, claiming the lives of at least 22 Palestinian civilians, mostly women and children. They were attacked and killed as they were sleeping inside their houses.
Palestinians injured when 8 trucks entered Gaza on Thursday evening say that Israeli forces shot them as they rushed to get food for their families. Here's an account of the incident by some of the wounded Palestinians.
When the 8 trucks arrived, I went there, and then the tank and the drone began to fire. I got injured in the back, and I was bleeding for an hour until someone from my relatives came and took me to the hospital.
We were in Al Rashid Road waiting for 8. At 3:30, they started firing shells and shooting at people. We were on the beach. My son ran to the beach and they shot him twice. One grazed his head and the other in his chest.
We are very hungry. We don't have food or anything. They fired shells at us. They attacked us. They squashed us. They shot at us. There is no food. There is nothing. We want flour to eat. They shot the little ones. They humiliated us. They threw gas at us.
The United Nations says many of the victims of the deadly food convoy attack in Gaza City had gunshot wounds, despite Israeli claims that the incident was a stampede. The spokesman for the UN Secretary General says the gunshot wounds has been confirmed by a UN team during a visit to Al-Shifa Hospital, where many of the victims were taken. Stefan Dujarric's comments echo those by the director of the Al-Awda Hospital in Jabalia. Mohamed Salah earlier said 142 out of the 176 of the victims of the Thursday incident taken to the hospital had gunshot wounds. Eyewitnesses also say that Israeli soldiers opened fire on starving Palestinians who were waiting for the aid. The attack left 112 people dead and hundreds of others wounded. Three people have been killed in an Israeli drone strike targeting a car in the city of Nakura in southern Lebanon. The attack on the vehicle on the road used by the UN interim force is the latest in the spate of Israel's aerial strikes in southern Lebanon. Meanwhile, the Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah says it has struck an Israeli command center in the northern occupied territories using a kamikaze drone. Hezbollah and Israel have been engaged in exchanges of fire since the regime launched its genocidal war on Gaza in early October. Lebanese resistance fighters have mainly targeted Israeli military positions, but the Israeli regime has even targeted residential areas in Lebanon, causing the death of civilians. There seems to be no end in sight to Israeli deadly raids on the occupied West Bank. A Palestinian teenager is the latest victim of an attack near the city of Ramallah. According to a Palestinian news agency, Mohammed Murad Aldi was shot in the head during an Israeli attack in the town of Kafnima. The regime forces also raided the cities of Qalqilya, Al-Khalil, and Azun. In Qalqilya, a Palestinian was abducted after locals resisted the raid on the city. Israel has intensified its incursions across the West Bank since launching a genocidal war in the Gaza Strip. Attacks by Israel's forces and settlers have left more than 400 Palestinians dead in the occupied territories since early October. Malaysians have taken to the streets of the capital Kuala Lumpur to protest against the Israeli genocide in Gaza. The protesters carried Palestinian flags and posters calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. They also condemned the latest attack by Israeli forces that took the lives of scores of Palestinians who were seeking aid. The protesters called the attack senseless and without mercy. Among the protesters was the daughter of Malaysian Prime Minister, who called for unity against Israeli crimes.
Most of us are here as Malaysians to showcase support against the genocide. And I think with 30,000 death tolls and countless of others who are still trapped under the rubble, in a clear-cut case of genocide, with the International Court of Justice also weighing in against Israel, the occupying force, I think it just, you know, requires any, you know, small semblance of humanity to come together. So it's not just restricted to Malaysia, and I do hope that many more people come together.
Protesters also warned against Israel's ground operation in Rafah in southern Gaza. International concern has in recent weeks centered on the city, where a ground invasion could displace hundreds of thousands of Palestinians across the frontier with Egypt. The last city untouched by Israeli ground troops, Rafah, also serves as the main entry point of humanitarian aid. The Iranian president of MRIC says the pillars of the Israeli regime have been destroyed due to Palestinian resistance nearly 5 months into the Gaza genocide.
Due to the resistance of the Palestinian nation, the pillars of this glass base has been destroyed, and irreparable losses have been inflicted on it.
Raisi said the formation of the Zionist regime was a colonialist project by the West, adding that the Palestinian people are still shouldering the burden of the formation of the Zionist entity. The Iranian president noted that the formation of the Israeli regime was aimed at Western dominance of the entire West Asia region. He made the remarks in an address to the 7th Summit of the Gas Exporting Countries Forum, or GECF, which is held in the Algerian capital, Algiers. The president reiterated the need for convergence of societies and governments to overcome challenges facing the world.
در حالی که جهان با چالش‌های متعددی در حوزه‌های گوناگون از جمله امنیت انرژی
The world is facing several challenges including energy security and climate change and tensions more than ever before there's the need for further convergence among societies and also governments seeking solutions in order to overcome these challenges and take steps in the path of development and help protect the environment and nature, and in this way create a brighter future.
Raisi said the appropriate use of natural resources, such as gas, as a clean source of energy, can play a crucial role in overcoming the challenges that the world is facing. The president said that there should be new paths for the transfer of natural gas, adding that this requires new policies and approaches. He called for joint ventures among gas exporting countries so that all nations around the world will benefit from it. Raisi further noted or added that the Islamic Republic is seeking bilateral and multilateral relations with all world countries, given its vast gas resources and transit situation in the region. Vote counting is underway in Iran for Friday's elections that will determine the fate of the next parliament and assembly of experts. The process of vote tallying kicked off soon after polls closed following the extension of voting hours three times. Iran's Election Commission has announced the winners in some of the constituencies. The voter turnout in the elections is set to be over 41%, which means 25 million people out of more than 61 million eligible voters took part in the balloting. Over 15,000 candidates are vying for 290-seat parliament. Hundreds of candidates are also in the race for 88-seat Assembly of Experts, which is a deliberative body elected for 8 years. Our correspondent in Tehran, Gisumi Shahmadi, talked to us earlier about the vote recount or the vote count process. Let's take a listen.
Vote counting is still underway, and considering the large number of ballot boxes in the constituencies across the country, and also the fact that two different elections were held simultaneously, one for the Assembly of Experts and one for the Iranian Parliament, it is quite likely that this vote counting is going to take at least another 24 hours. We don't know exactly, but we do know that the Interior Ministry is doing its best to give us the final results as soon as possible. So far, in a number of provinces, the people that have been elected to go to the Assembly of Experts, since it was a smaller number, is now it has been confirmed. Of course, you do know, Kaveh, that all the statistics announced by the Interior Ministry needs the approval of the Constitutional Council or the Guardian Council in order to become official. However, by the numbers that we have, it's by now pretty much obvious which of those candidates will be going in.
Have expressed their unwavering support for the Islamic Revolution by actively participating in the elections. Iranians say that they deeply believe in the power of their collective voice and the democratic processes in the Islamic Republic. Let's take a listen to what they had to say.
With our votes, we want to show that despite problems and deficiencies in the country's governance, the people are wholeheartedly supporting the revolution, their national interests, and their country.
We have to fulfill our duty to the extent we can. Yes, there are many problems, too many problems. We're sad and we voice our criticism as much as we can. God willing, those responsible will think about them, and probably many of them do care.
I feel that the participation is much better than last time, and in my opinion, people are optimistic about the elections.
With all the propaganda that hostile media made, I think the turnout would be higher than the previous round.
The U.S. military has carried out fresh airstrikes on Yemen to put pressure on the Arab country to cease its anti-Israel operations in the Red Sea. The U.S. Central Command said in a statement posted on social media that the raids targeted air defense systems of Yemen. That followed an earlier statement by CENTCOM that a U.S. flagship was targeted with a ballistic missile in the Red Sea. The U.S. and the U.K. have conducted a number of airstrikes on Yemen to stop its naval blockade on the Israeli regime. The Yemeni armed forces launched their operations against Israeli or Israeli-bound ships over the regime's genocide in the Gaza Strip. But over the past month, Yemenis have intensified attack on U.S. and British ships in retaliation for the two countries' aggression against the Arab country. It's election year in the UK, and the ongoing Israeli genocidal war on Gaza has taken center stage in the special electoral campaigns in England this month. Syed Purza reports on the by-elections in the greater Manchester town of Rochdale, where the opposition Labour Party's failure to call for an immediate permanent ceasefire in Gaza has come home to roost.
Once a boomtown of the Industrial Revolution, Rochdale in northwest England has been reliably Labour for years, until now. This was an election that saw allegations of fraud, desperate attempts like this one by the right-wing Reform Party.
Make sure you prevent George Galloway from being your MP for Rochdale.
And dominated by the massacre in Gaza.
From the river to the sea.
The result came hours after polls closed.
Hereby declare that George Galloway is duly elected.
A sweeping victory for a veteran anti-war pro-Palestine campaigner who reminded everyone that the anger in Britain over the Gaza genocide is not confined to the Muslim community only.
Every Muslim is bitterly angry at Keir Starmer and his misnamed Labour Party. But you would be very foolish if you did not realize that millions of other citizens of our country are.
Rochdale is home to a 30,000-strong Muslim community.
George Galloway from Rochdale.
Apart from bread-and-butter issues such as the declining public services, unemployment, poverty and crime that have racked the constituency for years, for the majority of the voters here, there was more to take into account.
Like this as a blessing to basically take our word straight to Parliament, and if one person just goes in there and asks for a ceasefire, asks for all these genocide to stop, it's more than any Labour candidate or Labour MP or anyone has done for many years.
He can bring change to us locally, but also nationally and internationally. So the thing is, the ongoing issue with Gaza is a big issue, and it's an international issue. But at the same time, it's not just a Muslim issue. It's about human rights.
The election was triggered by the death in January of opposition Labour Party MP Tony Lloyd. He was replaced by this man, Azhar Ali. On voting day, though, Labour's campaign centre lay shuttered after the party abandoned Ali for making anti-Israel remarks.
By-elections don't always represent the wider national picture. They are protest votes with a local focus. Last time around, Labour won the seat here by 10,000 votes, but this time they lost. And perhaps that is a sign of what's to come, both for Labour and the Conservatives, with the general elections only months away. Saeed Purza, Rochdale, Greater Manchester.
And that is for World News. It's bye-bye for now.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
in the limelight.
Britain's jobless crisis is worse than previously thought, as new estimates show more than 400,000 extra people have dropped out of the labour market. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. British newspaper The Telegraph has covered this story and tells us more. The National Institute of Economic and Social Research warned businesses have become frustrated with trying to hire British workers and are increasingly looking abroad to fill vacancies. The number of firms registering to become sponsors to hire abroad has doubled in the past 2 years as hundreds of thousands of Britons abandon work. More than 9 million people of working age have dropped out of the jobs market. The economically inactive population has increased by 884,000 since before the pandemic. Wages increase has not persuaded enough of them to take one of the more than 900,000 vacancies on offer. Max Mosley, economist at the National Institute of Economic and Social Research, said, "Instead, employers have been forced to look overseas for the vital staff they need." He added, "International workers are basically propping up the labour market in many ways. It is very challenging for employers, the kind of tools they have at their disposal to raise wages to try to compete, does not work anymore. More than 5 million people are now on out-of-work benefits, up from 3.5 million back in 2015. The Office for National Statistics, the ONS, has found 2.8 million people who say they are neither in work nor looking for a job because of long-term sickness. According to the National Institute of Economic and Social Research, claimants are typically spending longer on benefits rather than snapping up the jobs on offer, despite the 6.5% increase in average pay in the year to November. Office figures show the number of new work visas offered last year jumped to 169,000, up 50% on the pre-COVID levels. The number of businesses registered to sponsor visas has more than doubled since 2021 to 76,310, as bosses struggle to find workers among those already in the United Kingdom. Max Mosley said, "That is why you might see them look towards international workers. Previously, only around 30,000 companies had been registered." Max Mosley said the sudden jump in businesses registering came right at the point in the supply of domestic workers got really tight. So over the pandemic in 2021, reflecting firms potentially becoming frustrated. It comes after David Miles, an executive member of the Office for Budget Responsibility, said the government must not rely on immigration to boost the economy and reduce Britain's debts. He warned that migration is not a solution to the country's long-term financial problems, advising Prime Minister Rishi Sunak that slashing the benefits bill and getting more people into work instead would be unambiguously beneficial for the economy. According to the Office for National Statistics, ONS, net migration into the United Kingdom hit 672,000 in the 12 months to June of 2023, with the population expected to hit 70 million by the end of 2026. In an effort to reduce the flow of migrants, the British government is raising the salary threshold for skilled workers moving to the United Kingdom. The baseline minimum salary for sponsoring a visa is rising from £26,200 to £38,700 in April, though there are exemptions for health and care workers and teachers. Britain's Chancellor of the Exchequer, Jeremy Hunt, is under pressure to cut taxes to make work more attractive. James Reid, Chief Executive of the recruiter Reid Jobs, said the Chancellor should unfreeze income tax thresholds to make work pay and get people back into the labour force. James Reid added, "There are a lot of reasons why someone who wasn't working might think of returning to work at the moment, and making work pay is a really important part of that." The British newspaper The Times has also covered the same story and tells us more. Income tax thresholds are normally raised in the United Kingdom in line with inflation, but the bans have been frozen since April of 2022. This was first announced by Prime Minister Rishi Sunak when he was Chancellor of the Exchequer in 2021, and then was extended by Jeremy Hunt until 2028. Soaring pay amid the cost of living crisis means more people are getting pulled into higher tax bans in a stealth tax known as fiscal drag. James Reid, Chief Executive of the recruiter Reid Jobs, said, "We have been through a period of quite severe inflation. The people who are caught in those thresholds now are quite different to what was originally planned." James Reid added, "The more people are working who could be made free of income tax, the better, because it encourages work. That has been going in the opposite direction." According to the Office for Budget Responsibility, by 2029, an extra 4 million people will be paying income tax compared to in 2023. A further 3 million people will have moved into the higher rate tax band. James Reid said, "Jeremy Hunt's national insurance cut, which kicked in January, has helped to increase people's take-home pay, but the Chancellor should go further and readjust the tax bands to account for inflation." He said, "Anything that can give people some more of their hard-earned cash would be welcomed, and the thresholds are a good place to start." Britain's jobless crisis is worse than previously thought, as new estimates show that more than 400,000 extra people have dropped out of the labour market. According to the Office for National Statistics, there are now 9.25 million people aged between 16 and 64 who are neither in work nor looking for work, meaning they're officially classed as economically inactive. Officials have revised the figures upwards because the adult population is almost 750,000 bigger than previously expected, fueled by greater levels of immigration. The bulk of this 750,000 is made up of people who are not working nor looking for work, as the figure shows that 172,000 are employed, 30,000 are unemployed, and 414,000 are inactive. A Treasury spokesman said, "After borrowing £400 billion to protect lives and livelihoods throughout the pandemic and energy shock because of the Russia-Ukraine war, we had to take some difficult decisions to help pay it back. However, with inflation more than halved and because of the progress we have made, we have cut taxes for hard-working people, leaving the average employee £450 a year. And our tax burden remains lower than any major European economy." The Department for Work and Pensions spokesman said, "We are clear that migration is not the long-term solution to growing Britain's economy." The spokesman claimed, "Our welfare reforms are expected to reduce the number of people who would otherwise have been placed on the higher tier of health benefits by 370,000. And our Back to Work plan will help over a million people start and stay in work."
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hussein Latifi, and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we talk about the concept of human being in the Holy Quran and different dimensions of this being according to the verses of the Holy Quran. And in the previous episode, we talked about human intellect and human desire, the relationship between the two. And we said there are two levels of desire. One of them is base desire, desires that we share with animals, and the desire that we only have as human beings. And the word for the first level of desire is hawa, the base desires that we have. And in the Holy Quran, we see that hawa has been contrasted to aql, and also in the hadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. So one hadith we read from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam was kam min aqlin asir, how many intellects are prisoners or are imprisoned by what? By the desire, tahta hawan amir, and the commander is the desire, the base desire. Or in another hadith, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says hifdhul aqli bimukhalafat al-hawa. If a person wants to save and rescue and take care of his reason, he can do that through restricting the desire. Once you open the doors of the desire and do not stop it completely, then the reason will fade away. And even other people who observe the situation will have similar judgment. They say a person, generally, if you consider it yourself, you realize that people who do not control their desires, they cannot achieve greater goals in their life. And man janaba hawahu sahha aqlu, a person who sides away from his desire. Janaba means you side away from something, you keep away from the desire. Sahha aqlu, then the reason of that person will be accurate and will be correct. So, we have different verses of the Holy Quran. We go through some of them to talk about the desire in order to understand the intellect, the thing that restricts the desire. One thing is that one beautiful analogy that we have in our hadith is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two hujjah, has two evidence for people, has two proofs, two kinds of proofs. One of them is inner, one of them is outer. The outer and outward evidence for people are the prophets. The inner evidence, the inner proof for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, means of communication, is the intellect. Now this is very important. Or another way of saying that is intellect is the inner prophet, and prophet is the outward intellect. And we should explain the two things. What does it mean, al-aqlu, the inner prophet? It is the reason of a person, it is the intellect of a person that keeps reminding us about the serious issues of life, the serious issues related to our being, both in this dunya and in the hereafter. It is the reason that tells a person, okay, wake up in the morning and go to work, and be careful to do this, to do that. Cut down your, I don't know, the time that you spend here and there in order to achieve one success in life. This is the reason. It's like a prophet leading the person. And it's true also in the spiritual life. We will have a break and we come back to talk about the other side of the saying.
Oh.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. We were talking about the phrase that is being said in the Islamic literature, Al-Aqlu, the intellect is the inner prophet, and Al-Nabi, and the prophet, is the outward intellect. Like the way that, and we said the function of reason in relation to other faculties of the soul is to restrict them, to lead them in order to organize them in order to achieve one success, achievement, or gain in life. Now, the same is true about the prophet. The prophet functions like the intellect. He tries to first bring into attention of people the seriousness of certain matters of their life. That there is a hereafter, that they have to work for that hereafter, that they have to observe their practices, their words, exactly like the way the reason, the true intellect within a human being, guides that human being towards the success. A prophet within a society tries to guide that society towards success by balancing different forces and different powers in the society. Now, like the way that sometimes a person kills, not a person, let's say the desires of the base desires, the hawa of a person, kills and imprisons the intellect of the person. You see, and we had that in the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Amir, the commander, is that desire, and the imprisoned one or the prisoner is the reason. This also happened in several nations, in several ummat, meaning that people of the past. Quran says, وَلَقَدْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ, when we made a covenant with Bani Israel, وَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ رُسُلًا, we sent messengers and prophets to them, كُلَّمَا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى أَنفُسُهُمْ, whenever they had a prophet, who would teach them, who would tell them things that was not in accordance with their own desire. For example, we desire usury, we desire, I don't know, different vices that are there. And this is the case because they are tempting. Mainly desires are sweet and people like to have them. So, كُلَّمَا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى أَنفُسُهُمْ, the prophets would say, okay, do not have these things, do not have relationships out of marriage, do not take the money of others without their consent, and other things that are there in the teachings of Anbiya, because it was against their desire, بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى أَنفُسُهُمْ. فَرِيقًا كَذَّبُوا, some of them, they denied the prophethood because it was against their desires. They said it was easier for them to say, okay, he is not a prophet to begin with. It's easier for them to deny. Some people deny the message of prophets, not based on some theoretical questions that they have, but because of the practical desires that they have. And وَفَرِيقًا يَقْتُلُونَ, certain prophets, they actually killed. Like the way, as I said, a person kills his own intellect because of the power that the desire has. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and to enable us to make the intellect as the leader of our being and not the follower and the prisoner of the desire. Thank you very much for listening. Inshallah, we continue the discussion in the next episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The Limelight.
President Joe Biden and his rival Donald Trump are projected to win the Michigan primary. The state has become one of the key presidential battlegrounds. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The national broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. CBS News has projected that former President Donald Trump will win the Republican primary in Michigan, while President Joe Biden will win the Democratic primary in the state. With 62% of the vote counted, Donald Trump led with 67% to former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley's 27%. Nikki Haley, fresh off her defeat in her home state of South Carolina, has vowed to stay in the race through Super Tuesday on 5th of March. On the Democratic side, with 51% of the vote counted, Joe Biden has 80% of the vote. While he did not have any challenges, there was an effort launched by Arab and Muslim Americans to vote uncommitted in the primary as a protest to Joe Biden's policy towards Israel's brutal war on the Gaza Strip. With 51% of the vote reported, uncommitted had 13% of the vote. If uncommitted receives more than 15% of the vote, then delegates who are not bound to any candidate could attend the convention. Former President Donald Trump continued his winning streak over former United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley in Michigan's presidential primary on Tuesday, 27th of February. For Democrats, President Biden is projected to win, but the primary may be an indicator of whether or not Mr. Biden's approach to the Israeli war in Gaza will cost him much-needed support in this battleground state. The national broadcaster ABC News has also covered the same story and tells us more. President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump won their respective parties' presidential primary in Michigan on Tuesday night, 27th of February, according to projections by ABC News. President Joe Biden touted his victory in a statement after his projected win while urging unity in the face of a protest vote over his handling of the Israeli regime's brutal war in the Gaza Strip. President Biden said, "I want to thank every Michigander who made their voice heard today. Exercising the right to vote and participating in the vote is what makes America great. You've heard me say many times it's never a good bet to bet against the United States of America. It's never a good bet to bet against Michiganders either. This fight for our freedoms, for working families, and for democracy is going to take all of us coming together." Meanwhile, the former President Donald Trump claimed that his win over former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley exceeded expectations and underscored the role Michigan plays as a key swing state in the general election. "We win Michigan, we win the whole thing," Donald Trump told Michigan Republicans after his win. "I just want to thank everybody. You've been incredible, and I'm so proud of the results because they're far greater than anticipated. So thank you all very much, and I'll be seeing you over the next period of 9 months and long beyond that." Nikki Haley, the former South Carolina governor, insisted that despite her loss, Tuesday's results showed that a substantial swathe of the Republican Party doesn't want Donald Trump as its nominee, after she earned over a quarter of the vote. Joe Biden is losing about 20% of the Democratic vote today, and many say it's a sign of his weakness in November. Donald Trump is losing about 35% of the vote. That's a flashing warning sign for Donald Trump in November. Haley's spokesperson, Olivia Perez-Cubas, said in a statement, referring to Donald Trump's roughly 67% of the vote in Michigan's primary. Since Trump became president in 2016, he lost Michigan Republicans the state house, state senate, and governor's mansion. Opinion polls were open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. local time on Tuesday, 27th of February. Early voting in the state's presidential primary occurred from 18th of February through to Sunday. Vote-by-mail absentee ballots had to be received by a local election clerk by 8 p.m. on Tuesday, 27th of February. A separate state primary for U.S. representative and state legislative seats will be held on 3rd of August. While both Democratic and Republican presidential primaries are being held in Michigan, delegates to the Republican National Convention will not be bound only based on Tuesday's primary results. The GOP primary results determine 16 delegates. The remaining 39 of Michigan's 55 Republican delegates will be awarded based on a resolution to be determined at a subsequent state party convention, as well as the state party's congressional district caucuses. All 117 of Michigan's Democratic delegates will be awarded based on the primary election results on Tuesday, 27th of February. Michigan has become a closely contested swing state in recent presidential elections, having swung between the Democratic and Republican candidates in the last three elections. After decades of voting for Democrats, the state narrowly voted for Republican Donald Trump in 2016, and then switched back to Democrat Joe Biden in 2020. Michigan was also an epicenter of baseless election conspiracy theories during the 2020 presidential election, which received national attention. Both President Biden and former President Donald Trump have faced recent headwinds in the state. Muslim and Arab American leaders in Michigan have launched efforts to campaign against voting for Joe Biden in the 2024 election in protest at his policies regarding Israel's brutal war in the Gaza Strip. Donald Trump's 2024 candidacy had also been challenged in the state under the 14th Amendment because of his actions around 6th of January 2021, but the Michigan Supreme Court has rejected that argument. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kHz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
RIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Sheikh Rouhani on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, thumma salatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Tahirin. In this program of the Hadith of the Day, we are going to recite a beautiful Hadith of the Holy Prophet, which is about the Akhir al-Zaman, or the time that comes to the people, and the Prophet says that in that time you have to be patient. Qala Rasulullah, Ya'ati ala al-Nasi zamanun, la yunalu fihi al-mulku illa bil-qatli wa al-tajabbur.
ولا الغنى إلا بالغصب والبخل ولا المحبة إلا باستخراج الدين واتباع الهوى فمن أدرك ذلك الزمان فصبر على البغضة وهو يقدر على المحبة وصبر على الفقر وهو يقدر على الغنى وصبر على الذل وهو يقدر على العز أتاه الله ثواب 50 صديقا ممن صدق به. A very nice hadith. The Prophet said that actually there shall come a time when people cannot get into power except by being jealous and seizing of people's property. Cannot become popular except by abandoning religion and following their selfish desire. God will reward anyone who lives in that time and is patient with poverty although he can acquire wealth and is patient with baseness although he can attain glory. His reward will be equal to the reward of 50 believers who have acknowledged me. Look what the beautiful hadith here is, that first of all the Prophet mentions here that the time comes to you that in that time la yunalu fihi al-mulk, the one, the people cannot get the power, authority, illa bil-qatl wa-tajabbur, except by killing, murdering the people, and tyranny and oppression. And then there is no ghina illa bil ghasbi wal bukhl, by usurping, by seizing the properties of the people, by bukhl, by, let's say, jealousy. And then says that wal al muhabba, there is no hope, there is no love other than getting away from deen and from iman. And then the Prophet says that those people who live in such a time and they are sabir, and they are patient, and they try to live, for example, in simple life, while they can attain wealth by usurping, by oppression, by killing the people, yeah? If the people are patient in that time, living simply, without usurping, without, for example, getting power and authority over the people by qatli wal qitali, by killing, murdering the people, and then they can stay in the state of kind of simple life, poverty, despite the fact that they can get wealth by different kind of means available for them. Then the Prophet says that their reward will be thawab 50 siddiqan mimman saddaqa bihi. Their reward will be equal to the reward of the 50 believers who have acknowledged me. This is the great blessing of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these sort of people. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Rouhani in the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Doing a sound from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring
event.
In Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. Millions of Iranians have headed to polling